season two. And if we really catch this, there may not be a season three, but I'm really wanting you to catch this, because this affects, this so energizes your life with the Lord. And it's so exciting to see the victories of the Lord. You know what this causes? Praise helps you see the momentum of God in your life, because it's God doing it. But praise helps you recognize it. It gives you glasses to see what God's doing. And so, without a doubt, we've tried to show you that praise affects the Father. This is how you love on the Father. Pastor Don mentioned it early in the service this morning, but, you know, don't be late for praise and worship. That's part of us loving on the Lord. I had a family one time that would stay out in the van. Oh, James, this is no reflection of you. But, you know, would stay out in the van and come in. You know, they just didn't appreciate our style of praise and worship. I told them, well, you know, that's between you and the Lord. But while you're in the van, praise the Lord before you come in. But, you know, it's great to praise the Lord before you come to church. It's great to praise the Lord when you're standing up, sitting down, going in and all out and all about. And your children and grandchildren and the heathen need to hear you praise the Lord. One of the things I'm trying to share with you today is that I really believe that God's called us to be praise, to be a praise parade while we're here on earth, to be a praise parade. The Bible's real clear about it, at all times to give Him praise and to celebrate Him in all things. And we ought to be a Thanksgiving trailblazer. And where other people are have the mully grubs and are griping and complaining, they need to hear the sound of Thanksgiving coming from us. Because of all people on the face of the earth, we know Him. And we know how big He is and powerful and how great He's been to us. And we ought to be Thanksgiving trailblazers. Oh, that's good. That'd go on a t-shirt. I like that. But praise affects us. From worshiping the problem to worshiping the answer. And He's the answer. Man, thank you for that thunderous amen there. I'm telling you, that's worth something. To go from worshiping the problem to worshiping the answer, which is Jesus. From the attitude going from the negative to the positive. Praise also affects the enemy. We covered this last week. If you didn't get to hear that, you need to go back and hear it, because praise is a weapon and it affects the enemy. Jesus pointed this out, that praise is strength as a weapon of warfare against the enemy. You need to hear that and see that. I don't have time to go back over that. Acts 16. We're going to cover a lot of scripture in a hurry. Acts 16, starting with verse 16. And we were on our way to a place of prayer. Now, this is about Paul and Silas. And there, you know, to go back in time, they'd had direction from the Lord to go to this place. And so they went to this place because the Lord led them there. I want you to understand that. They were there because the Lord led them there. And they were ministering in the city, and they were on their way to a place of prayer. We were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination, claiming to foretell future events and discover hidden knowledge, like we would call a fortune teller. And she brought her own. Don't go to those folks. This is clearly of darkness. You don't mix Jesus with demons. Don't go to a fortune teller. You have a Holy Spirit that will give you guidance. You have a Holy Spirit that will give you wisdom. I shouldn't even have to say that, but okay, I won't tell you. And she brought her owners much gain by her fortune telling. And she kept following Paul and the rest of us, and she'd follow them around. And she would shout loudly, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they announce to you the way of salvation." Now, you might think, well, that's good publicity. Okay? But here's the thing. Well, let me show you verse 18, and I'll explain it to you. And she did this for many days, many times, in many days. And Paul, being sorely annoyed. I want to tell you, I love that verse. It makes me feel better. Let's be sure that when you get annoyed, okay, that it's about the enemy and not about people. Yeah. Then Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out, turned and said to the spirit within her. Did he say it to the girl or to the spirit? To the spirit within her, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. So, to rush to say, she lost her ability to tell things from the dark side about people. Just to reiterate, you don't need to hear stuff from the dark side. You need to hear from the light. And God's the light. Now, you may say, well, hey, she was just telling the truth. Okay, yes, her words were true, had fact. But I want to tell you something. What were the fruit of her words? All right, you better catch on to this. This will help you. Okay, I heard from a guy that I'm trying to disciple long distance. And he was showing me some stuff that a preacher was saying. And I just had to tell him, what is the fruit of that message inside of you? He said, well, it kind of makes me mad and it disturbs me. And there's something in me saying it's wrong. I said, there you go. I said, that's the fruit of it. It doesn't matter if he's carrying a big Bible. There's something to this. Are you listening? What is the fruit of the message that you're listening to? The fruit of the Word of God should. Is there room for correction? You better believe it. That's what Bible says. The Word of God is good for correction. Okay? But listen. The fruit of the Word of God, the Spirit of God ministering the Word of God to you, should be to encourage you to love Jesus more. Amen. It should be encourage you to live for Jesus more. It should encourage you to love the Lord and love other people more. It should give you hope to overcome. If they're carrying a big Bible and they're ministering condemnation and shame and blame, then I want to tell you something. They may be ministering words from the Bible, but what's the fruit? What this little girl, by the powers of darkness, even though she was saying facts that were right, there was disturbance from her message. There was a distraction from her message. There was division from her message. And so I want to tell you that marks it as dark. What's the fruit? Okay? And she did this for many days. And Paul cast this spirit out of her. And thank God that we don't have to fear anything of darkness. And there are still spirits out affecting people. And I want to tell you, Jesus has won the battle over those. They're all weak compared to Jesus. And we get to enjoy the victory of the Lord over the powers and works of darkness. Amen. Nothing can separate us from His love. Amen. And when her owners discovered that their hope of profit was gone, they caught hold of Paul and Silas. You understand that this hurt their pocketbooks. This hurt their bank account. And they caught hold of Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities in the forum. There was a place there in the town square where the trials and stuff were held, and they grabbed them there and threw them down there. And so what I'm sharing with you is this, is that the preaching of the Word of God and the ministry of the Word of God was worked out for this demonized girl to be set free. And affected their the slave girl's owners. It affected their pocketbooks. And I really can't tell you how many people are all about Jesus until they see it affects their pocketbook. Yes. I've got a number of illustrations. I don't think it's beneficial to even share them. But I've actually had some people say, what a waste. And let me just remind you that with the disciples of Jesus, there was one who was keeping the checkbook. And as the keeper of the money, the Bible relates that he was a thief. And so I'm telling you, he was stealing from the money back. Okay? And so, hey, they were at a place, and they were having a meal, and a woman comes in, and she takes a very expensive bottle of perfume that was like a year's wages, and she poured it out on Christ, and she ministered to His feet. She anointed His feet. Hey, tears also, with her hair wiping His feet. And the money bag was saying, hey, that's a waste. What a waste. Because all of that could be used and could go in the bag. And he's thinking, ching, ching. I get all that money in the bag. I could get some of that. Okay? But I want to tell you, you say, that doesn't have any place in the kingdom, any place in ministry. But I want to tell you, it's there. And watch out for it. I want to announce something to you from the kingdom of God, from heaven itself. Jesus does not care if you have a lot of money. I want to tell you what he cares about. He cares if money has you. He does not want his people to covet. Are you listening? Because covet is a poison. He wants you to desire him and your love life to be with him. And if money doesn't have you, then it can really be a blessing. I'm telling you, it's a choice between eternity versus what's temporal. All right? I've had people say, I had an example where that at one time that I had preached a couple of citywide revivals, teen revivals, and the churches of the city would come together. And I want to tell you, it was awesome. And not because of me. I'm just saying it was awesome that these churches, different brands, come together, the teens come together. I would preach a message, be great singing. We'd bring in singers. I'd preach a message. And a lot of people were receiving Christ. And so other cities began to line up to do this. And then there was this group of men, businessmen, that said, you know what? We want to sponsor this across America. We want to line up cities across America and get the churches and the youth of the city together and bring you in to preach the gospel and say, man, we can make this a tour. We can see a lot of kids saved. I said, I'm all about it. All right? Now, the guy that was leading this, he put the brakes on it. Even though he was so excited at first, he put the brakes on it in a little while. And he called me in to see him. I drove to go see him for him to explain why that we were not going to do this tour, youth tour type thing, and see all these kids saved. And he carries me out to a barn that he's got, and he opens up the door, and there's a an older car. It's beautiful. He's remaking it. He's remodeling it. He's putting a lot of money into it. And he said, I just got to share with you that we're not going to be able to do that right now. And I might do it in the future. But I've told the guys that we're going to have to put that on hold. And I said, well, I really don't understand that. This seems to be a great time. We've had these and it's been effective. And, you know, I think we ought to go now. Okay? And he said, well, he said, look at this. He said, that's my new baby. I said, that's your baby? He said, yeah, that's my new baby. I'm going to have to invest, and I don't remember what he said, thousands of dollars into this new baby. And he said, after I get through with this new baby, then we're going to consider this tour. I want to tell you something. Oh, Lord Jesus. My thought was this, that's real deep of you. Isn't that spiritual? Won't that baby in the garage affect a lot of people for the kingdom of God? Faith means, are you listening, American Christians? Faith means that you can't always see the ching ching prophet with your physical eyes, or you may not be able to figure out the ching ching prophet with your physical human brain. Faith means that you sow and you trust in God and let God be the one that brings the harvest. You put your trust in God and not in man. Not in the bank, not in your government. You put your trust in God. Okay. Well, that really makes for big offerings, and we've already received ours. So, Acts 16, verse 22, the crowd also joined in on the attack upon them. And the rulers tore off their clothes off of them and commanded that they be beaten with rods. Now, I want to tell you, this is a type of gang or group-wide animosity. Aggressive, destructive spirit. And I want to tell you, you see it in the Bible, but we're also seeing it in our day. I've never known, been preaching 40-something years, I've never known a time where there was such a polarization, where that people out in the community would either respect you or they hate you. And I want to tell you, when they hate you, they're aggressive about it. And there's aggressiveness and an animosity against political figures, against religious people, against men of God, against the church. And there's such a lack of fear of God. And the only thing I know to call it is like a spirit of Jezebel. There's such an aggressive animosity. And I want to tell you, we see that. We're not to fear it, but I'm telling you, it's present in our day. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, charging the jailers to keep them safely. Now, one of the versions says to hold them fast. They told the jailer to hold them fast. And what that means is to put them in the maximum security unit of the jail. And so he, having received this jailer, verse 24, so strict a charge to hold them fast, put them into the inner prison. Do you see that? That's the maximum security in the inner prison. It's in the dungeon. And fastened their feet in stocks. And so with this kind of a charge, if they escaped, the guard would be killed. And because they're in the inner prison. So Acts 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas did not wait till the victory of escape from prison before they begin to celebrate and give thanks. Isn't that interesting? That's kind of what we've been talking about in this series. That believers don't wait for the victory or don't wait for the answer to show up physically before they begin to thank God and praise God. That's our joy, to by faith praise God in the midst of everything going on, knowing that our God loves us so much that He'll work it out for our good and His glory somewhere down the line. But we believe and we trust in Him. And so they were having a praise parade. They were having a trail of thanksgiving, a thanksgiving trailblazer by faith, because they loved Jesus. Not to get something. You say, oh, Brother Tim, they were doing this to get out of jail. No, I want to tell you why they were doing this, because they loved Jesus. And that's the purest motive, all right, is to love Jesus and lift up Jesus. And so for about midnight, now, the Bible's bringing us to midnight. They had probably been doing this for hours. Are you with me? Hey, church, they'd probably been doing this for hours. But at midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Now, yes, they had a captive audience, but I'm here to share with you that we've learned this, that when you practice praise and thanksgiving to the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. And so I'm sharing with you that as Paul and Silas were giving thanks, in the midst of the dungeon, in the midst of being done wrong song, hey, they were praising and thanksgiving God, and I'm sharing with you, catch this, that the manifested presence of God was in the prison. I'm going to show that to you here in just a second. Many stripes, they were hurting, they were praising while they were hurting. I want to tell you, this is the way to see what God's doing. This is the way to see what other people cannot see. Don't you want to see what other people cannot see? It's with praise and thanksgiving. They were hurting. Their feet and hands were in stocks. Paul and Silas were praising. You know what? They had human okay to complain. They had a human right to complain. They had a human right to complain and moan. And if they were going to do any praying, it would be some complaining and murmuring, praying and praying for a quick escape. But that's not what they were. They were not praying, oh God, why me? They were praying, oh God, we praise Thee and thank Thee. Yeah. Paul was practicing what he wrote about later. Yeah. Remember, the enemy is allergic to praise. Paul and Silas praised God not to escape, but praised God because they loved Him so much. They were thankful. They were grateful. They were celebrating God's goodness in prison. Amen. That ought to speak to us. Hey, here's another. Even though their bodies were miserable and in pain, their soul was prospering. Wow, that's powerful. Verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake. So at the very foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the doors were open. and everyone's shackles were unfastened. So this is an amazing earthquake. It's a supernatural earthquake that apparently did not destroy the prison, but it shook the foundation of the prison, and all the doors opened up. See, this is a miracle. This is a God-directed earthquake. Not only did all the doors of the cells open up, but all the shackles fell off. Wow, I just love that. God was at work, amen? Now, here's another miracle in this. When the doors opened up and the chains fell off, they didn't run. I'm not just talking about Paul and Silas. I'm talking about all the other prisoners. Do you understand what kind of a miracle that is? I promise you, if the doors were left open anywhere else, Dallas County, Tarrant County, there'd be some fast feet. I'm sharing with you, this is a miracle. Okay, a double miracle. And I want to explain to you that they were captured by the presence and the power of God. It's so amazing. In verse 25 refers to prisoners, they were hearing it. And they hung on every word of praise and prayer and thanksgiving. The prayers and the singing of praise so touched them, they didn't leave. The presence of God was so strong, they didn't leave. Psalm 22:3, you've heard us refer to in this series before. We'll probably hear it again. But He is holy, and He dwells in the praises of His people. And so during this worship, the presence and the power and the glory of God was so strong, they wanted to stay. Have you ever experienced the glory of God? I want to tell you, I've seen the glory of God a few times. It will change your life. Amen. All right? Absolutely, when His glory is manifested. I've been in meetings. One that I was leading in East Texas, and the glory of God came down, and I want to tell you, it shut everything up. There was complete silence for a period of time. The presence of God was so strong, it was like it was heavy. He was heavy on us. But I want to tell you, it wasn't a condemnation. It was a love. It was such a river of love flowing through the room. And it was just complete silence. I mean, it's like you couldn't speak. It's like you didn't even want to move. His presence was so strong. And then you begin to hear, after a few minutes, some people begin to weep. And then after a little while, some people begin to rejoice and to celebrate. But I'm telling you, the awesomeness of His manifested glory, just a quick end cap on this is that there were a number of people that received Christ that night, and no one prayed with them to receive Christ. There were a number of people healed that night, and no one prayed for them to be healed. A number of people were set free from things that night. No one prayed over them. It was such an awesome presence of God. The glory of God was manifested. I'm saying to you, it had to be something like this. When the jailer startled out of his sleep and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was on the point of killing himself because he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. And Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." Do you see that? We are all here. Don't hurt yourself. These prisoners were captured by the presence of God. We want to see His glory. Every generation needs to see the glory of God. If you've never seen the glory of God, you need to see the glory of God. Hey, it's experiential knowledge of Him. All right? It doesn't take over or put away the knowledge of Him that we get out of the Word of God. But I want to tell you, it's a part of knowing Him to experience the manifested presence of God. Changes your life. Addicts you. You become addicted to Him. In a way that's so precious. You know, Paul had a right to be bitter, had a right to be angry, because, you know, he was only doing what God told him to do. He went to the city because God sent him there. He was preaching the Word of God. He was doing what Jesus wanted him to do, and he was punished for doing something right. Now, I don't know how it is. I'll tell you something about T. Hall here, that, you know what, when I do something wrong and it's wrong, man, I belly up. I confess it. You know what? I'm right. Y'all please forgive me. I messed up. Y'all forgive me. I don't want to do that anymore. But you know what? When I get accused of doing something that I didn't do, It probably goes back to my childhood, but let me tell you something, that stirs me. I have a little more of a problem with that. And that's something the Lord's working on me. But I'm here to share with you, look here with Paul. Hey, he was doing everything right and was accused of being wrong. And was being punished for doing something right. And you know what? He could have showed some vengeance to this jailer, to everybody that did all this and all the pain that he was going through and the suffering. But you know what he did? He showed love and he showed Christ. That speaks, doesn't it? Then the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, trembling and terrified. He fell down before Paul and Silas and he brought them out of the dungeon and said, "Men, what is necessary for me to do that I may be saved?" Now, I'm going to read to you verse 31 because this is their description of salvation. And it's a whole lot more than what you hear sometime in other places. That it's more than a mental acknowledgement. It's more than being a parrot and repeating words. It has to do with your heart. So look at this in verse 31. "And they answered him, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.'" This is more than mental acknowledgement. This is what they said. "Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into his keeping." Do you see that? And the Bible says, "You will be saved." And this applies both to you and your household as well. And they declared the word of the Lord, the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. They shared with them how to receive Christ. And they did, and he did. And to all who were in his household. And they took them the same hour of the night and they bathed them because they were bloody. All right. In other words, there was some medical ministry taking place here. And so medical ministry, there's always room to help people in practical ways. And we see a need, we need to meet it. We see a hurt, we need to heal it. And so this is right to do. But let's not make the medical ministry the focus. Let's let Jesus be the focus in the medical ministry. Now, there's a whole lot more to that I can't go into. And so they ministered to them in that way. And then verse 34, they took him up into his house. And it's good to practice housing people, keeping people. And they set food before him. It's good to set food before him. They ministered the ministry of a meal to him. And again, let me rush and say, hey, let's minister what their needs are, but let's not make food to be the focus. Okay? Let's let Jesus be the focus. Well, there's some things there I need to say. I don't have time. I may jump on that next week. You know me. But what we're to do is to remember and reflect and rejoice in your salvation. That's the primary. That's always protocol for that. It's always healthy to kick off your thanksgiving and your praise for your salvation. You start there and see what happens. Look what happens to this man, this jailer. So he ministered to him medically. He took him to his house. He fed him. And then look what happens here. And he leaped much for joy. Now, when you leap much for joy, you know what I thought about is David dancing before the Lord. When you leap much for joy, do you know what that is? That's dancing before the Lord. That's getting airborne because of your joy. Getting airborne. That's a right thing to do. That's why that I encourage people, and I'm trying to teach people, when it comes to praise and worship, don't sit there like a bump on a stump. Come on now. You know what? This is about the King. We're honoring and worshiping the King. If your team made a touchdown, you wouldn't sit there like that. I'm telling you, we're talking about the victory of all victories, the victory for all eternity, and what he's done for you. He's worth celebrating in great ways. And there ought to be some leaping in the air in the house. Don't land on me, okay? I can't do that yet. But I'm telling you, there ought to be some expression of praise and thanksgiving. I've told folk before, if it happens at a ball game, you ought to be able to express that to Jesus. Wow. Okay, but he leaped much for joy and exulted with all his family. In other words, he wasn't the only one. Everybody was celebrating. Okay, it was Jesus' party. We ought to come and have a Jesus party. He's worthy of it. And he was excited that he had believed in God. He accepted and joyously welcomed what he had made known through Christ. And so here's the example of praise. And Paul and Silas could have focused on themselves and their pain. Are you with me? It would have been real easy. No one would have blamed them if they had focused on themselves, how they'd been done wrong, and on their pain. But praise, they practiced praise, a sacrifice of praise, because I promise you their bodies didn't feel like it. There was nothing about being in the inner dungeon that promoted them to praise. It was their love for Jesus. Praise. God uses praise to cause them to see past negative circumstances, and there were a bunch of them that night, to look past negative circumstances and see Him. They did not blame God. I love that. Because a lot of Christians tend to do that. When things go wrong and you've been done wrong, one of the easiest things to do is to blame God. Well, He could have prevented that. Well, Paul and Silas could have said the same thing. Here we are doing the Lord's work. We've been sent here. God told us to come here. We're preaching the Word of God. We're ministering Jesus. And we have been lied about. And we've been beaten up. We've been thrown in prison. Hey, I want to tell you, they could have parked there. But they decided to obey God. They didn't focus on their injustice. Is anyone listening? I want to tell you, that's important because we get done wrong. He didn't focus on his injustice, about being wronged. Hey, he didn't demand his rights. I want to tell you, that's common in our day. It's a theme in our day. Somebody look at you wrong, hey, you know, right? That ain't right. We got to do something about that. I get done wrong song, hey, I ain't going to do a praise parade. I'm going to do a complaining parade. I'm going to get other people to join me. Let's all go complain together. I'm just telling you, that's not a biblical thing. All right, I want to tell you, you're a whole lot better off going higher than those people and going to God and yielding it and submitting it to God and forgiving them with the forgiveness of God. And then the Lord says, I'll make it my battle. If you don't make it your battle, He'll make it His battle. If you make it your battle, He's going to stand back till you get ready and get tired and wore out and give it back to Him. Because He says, it's my battle, not yours, and vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And He knows how to make that so. In big time way, He knows how to make that so. He do a lot better job. The only people you're punishing is yourself. So, is anybody getting anything out of this? Okay, I got to wrap this up. So, catch me on this. Paul obeyed God. Within hours after arriving, he was arrested, beaten in jail, but he didn't have the mully grubs. You know that was served up. He didn't have the mully. If he had had the mully grubs, do you think the jailer would have ever been saved? Do you think the family would have ever been saved? They focused on God, and they saw the loving kindness of God in the middle of the prison. They looked beyond the suffering and the persecution, and they counted it an honor to serve the Lord right where they were and to give the Lord praise. Look, they sowed rejoicing. They sowed rejoicing. And the jailer and his family reaped joy. I wonder what would happen if we would just practice thanksgiving and praise as a sacrifice to the Lord, as an honor to the Lord, in spite of anything and everything we're going through, just to look by faith and honor Jesus and praise Him and celebrate Him and rejoice in our salvation. I wonder how many other people would get touched by the joy of Jesus as a result. We sow, we reap. And not just us. Others reap. I'm telling you, this is why that we have the opportunity to start a praise parade. Wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever the situation is, there's plenty to praise God for. Look beyond the junk, see Jesus, esteem Him, and wherever you are, start a praise parade. If you're the only one praising, amen, it'll bring honor and glory to God, and it'll touch other people's lives. Hey, be a trailblazer with thanksgiving. It may be very, very popular, your school, your work, your situation, to play the blame, shame, blame game. It's always somebody else's fault. Somebody else said this. Somebody else did that. The soap opera of the day. And I want to tell you, you don't have to play that game. Jesus won the victory to set you free from that. And you know what? It's in your best interest. It brings honor and glory to God. It touches other people when you be a trailblazer of thanksgiving. And you celebrate and honor the Lord with your thanksgiving. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Well, Father, thank you so much that your word is so clear. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the victory you won for us. Thank you, Lord, that this is not just for Paul and Silas. This is not just for super saints. Lord, you won the victory for every saint. We're not undercomers, we're overcomers. Lord, you've designed us to be the head and not the tail. You designed us to be the first and not the last, above and not beneath. And so, Lord, I want to thank you for your heart for us. Thank you for your promises of your word. And, Lord, help us by faith to look past the junk and see your glory. See your loving kindness. And, Lord, by faith, love on you and praise you and bless you. Because, Lord, you've promised to work it all out for our good and your glory. And, Lord, I just want to declare to you, if we don't ever see anything on this earth, we know that you've promised great reward in heaven. And so, Lord, it's our joy and our privilege to honor you in this journey. And I just release upon our people right now in the name of Jesus and all the people listening on podcast that we are going to start being a praise parade, a living Thanksgiving trailblazer to bring you honor and glory, to see you, allow you to do all that you want to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen.